So, it's been a while. We've been doing the podcast for some time now, and some of you guys have been following us for a while, and we appreciate the patronage. More importantly, as we continue to move forward. On today's episode, we want to talk about some of the things that we're seeing in the trending, and I think it's important to talk about artificial intelligence. We see that as another trend. We're seeing more and more, whether it's in the tech space or just your day-to-day life. And I have the privilege of having a great mind here with me today to really talk about this topic, which is AI. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to a founder, a technologist, an enthusiast, a think tank, in my opinion, a mentor, and a friend, Bill Manning, ladies and gentlemen.
Chuck, thanks for having me on there, buddy. Right on.
Of course. And I also got Nick with me. Nick is a good friend of mine. We were friends back from college. We went to same community college. And I think Nick being someone that's really, really important when it comes to being an artist, when it comes to music, I think having his perspective on where AI is going in that direction as well will help us kind of put this thing together and maybe paint a picture for our audience in understanding the trends, whether the pros and cons that we're seeing out there when it comes to artificial intelligence. So with that said, we're really going to focus on the pros and cons of AI today. And my first question goes to Bill, which is, a lot of people, you know, want to understand what is even AI, right? Because if we're not going to first talk about the advantage and disadvantage of something, we need to really understand what is this thing. So Bill, could you maybe just walk us through what AI really is?
Well, you know, the thing is, like, AI is like a really just broad sense of, you know, like when people, like, they kind of categorize it all under AI, right? And there's different levels of AI. I mean, even if you go back to just using Google as a search, it's doing predictive analysis. It's very, very basic in a way. Now, I wouldn't say artificial intelligence, but it was the precursor to taking large amounts of data and being able to put it into a way that you could easily do it, right? I feel lucky, I want to search for something, it does it. You know, things started going on, you know, even more so, predictive engines around things like, you know, selling ads or commercial. Then we started getting into things like Siri, right? We started getting into like Siri and any of the other, you know, voice assistants, Alexa and all those. And in a way, those are still predictive models, right? They're if-then models, they're very basic, but they're still kind of a AI-ish kind of thing, but it's more linear-based. Right now, we're heading more towards the precipice of things like AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. That's where you can go in and have something like a conversation. Right? That's where the Turing test comes in. You know, can you predict whether or not something that you're interacting with is truly human or something else? And now it's even gone further than that. Between Reid Hoffman's video that he sent out, you know, with his AI twin, and especially you're talking about the music side of it. I mean, look what Randy Travis did. Randy Travis had a stroke for all this music, and they just were releasing an album where they artificially generated his voice to do the album. Wow. Because he can't. Right, or Motley Crue. Motley Crue just did the same thing. They wrote a bunch of songs, and now they're having AI fill in the process, right? Because their singer, let's face it, Vince Neil, is not exactly, doesn't exactly have the voice that he used to anymore, so they're going more the AI route. And the thing is that AI itself is always evolving, right? When we get to AGI, that's the one, artificial general intelligence.
Right.
That's the part that everybody's trying to get to. That's the piece that everybody was originally was like 10 years from now. Now people is, I mean, it's right around the corner. I mean, the thing is AGI is the part where you just ask and get and receive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no differentiation between you and the actual AI itself. And the thing is that, yeah, AI goes through stages and we're getting them. Then there's SGI, that's down the road. That's like, that's superior general intelligence. That's when stuff gets really crazy. That's when, you know, it can think as well or better than we can. It becomes superior to us. That's still years out. But AGI is right around the corner. You're not gonna be able to distinguish anymore. I mean, before when you'd be on the phone call, you get a prompt, you know, you're always yelling at it. You're like, no, number seven, right? No, you know, Marque Ocho, you know, ending up saying,
right.
You know, all these things. Now you're gonna be heading down the path of, you're gonna have a conversation with an AI and you're gonna think you're talking to a customer service rep.
Wow.
Right? I mean, that's the thing, is you can be able to actually have a conversation. It's more of the delineation of the way people talk and being able to actually do that. But that's all based on something we're going to probably discuss as part of this, which is learning models. How does an AI learn? You know, I've been doing AI stuff since 2014. before I even joined the company that, you know, Chuck and I work at, JFrog, I joined 7 years ago, my previous company was called Nuji. And Nuji was based on AI. We actually had some very early AI. We were pulling in, creating media entities for people in chat. So it was a way for companies like WeChat, WhatsApp, and others to create custom built like media experiences for things like movies. I started writing chatbots where you could interact with your favorite stars of your favorite TV show and have conversation with them. But really behind the scenes, it was based on information from the show, their characters they play, interviews, right? That's where we pulled in the data to create create language models in which people could text and have a text interaction. Not a voice interaction. They're not even close to what they are now with, like I said, that Reid Hoffman one made me both laugh and shake a bit when I saw it because it's so insanely good. There's still some quirks that you can actually pick out that it is a generated twin, as he says, right? My AI twin, but it's insane. I mean, that one actually terrified me a little bit. That one, because that I can see it being used for nefarious or malicious means in the future. That's the scary part right here.
And that was the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that video. By the way, we're going to show that at some point here. But that was the first thing that came to my mind. It's how can someone take this and use it in a different direction, in this case, for evil, right? And I think going back to, and thank you so much, Bill, for painting that picture on what AI is. I think someone like myself have more understanding of what it is, even though I operate in an environment where it's being talked about every day, but the way you broke it down really helped a lot. On the day-to-day side of things, right? And this question is still for you before I pass over to Nick shortly. On the day-to-day side, what role do you see AI playing in like a regular Joe's, like doesn't care about tech, I'm just trying to go to work, feed my family, don't care about all the drama, all the other stuff, but how does this affect me?
So people have already started getting, in a way, used to this general idea, right? With the iPhone, with Siri, like I said, Alexa, interacting with Alexa, there's a frustration level because the technology backing it doesn't have that ability to produce results that would be better for you in the long term or give you back the results. But we're already kind of going down that path of it's becoming part of our life. It's become like a personal assistant, right? That's always the thing that everybody talks about, the personal assistant. And that's fine. That's a normal use. Or, you know, like for me, like in my car, you know, I can ask my car to give me directions. And, you know, eventually they'll ask me to answer back and say, well, hey, don't you have to do this? You have it in your to-do list. Should I route you over to do this instead? That's the next evolution, right? So it's not just give me directions to somewhere. It's something knowing everything about my life and trying to make it easier. And it's going to become that way between the wearable devices like our smartwatches, our phones, our cars. I mean, our cars have become hyper-intelligent. I mean, I laugh at the fact that if you asked me when I was a kid, long ago, that I would be driving a car one day that was electric and could drive itself. You know, I could tell it to go park itself. It can go park itself. I think you're insane. And, you know, I grew up reading sci-fi books and all these kind of things like Arthur C. Clarke, right? You know, the whole idea of HAL 9000 back then. That was even, think about this. Arthur C. Clarke wrote that in the 1950s, and the idea of the power and the potential threat of what artificial intelligence could be without even labeling it artificial intelligence, right? There's certain writers out there that predicted what we're going through, and it's like my favorite author, one of them is Philip K. Dick. Philip K. Dick wrote in Blade Runner, his name of the story is called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Right, but a lot of his stuff was in the late 1940s up to the 1960s, and he died in 1979. But like, I mean, 1982. But he was like a prophet when it came to technology, forward thinking, and for him, the idea of the personal assistant—that's one thing, and that's the one that's the go-to. It's the filling in the gaps of your job is where it's going to be. Now, people are worried that their jobs are going to go away. But in this case, what I see is that you're going to see more of an assistance, right? That things will be assisting you to do this. You know, like Reid Hoffman, his example, I love was he's like, I can't be everywhere at once. I run multi-million-dollar companies. Wouldn't it be great if I could do a presentation without me being able to do the presentation and let my avatar do it for me, right? Yeah. these are the things. Or I could see space travel. That's another thing, right? You know, like, you know, as we're starting to reach out to the stars more, you know, that's going to take over. It's going to be able to predict things that current things can't. So,
I see.
And like I said, I
sounds like there's more ups to this. And that brings me to my next question.
We're in the infancy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We're still learning to walk.
I see.
We're still learning. We're still prone. We're not there yet. We've made strides. We can now walk without having to hold on to furniture. Like a toddler, right?
Right.
Maybe
right.
Kids understands that.
Right.
And,
great analogy.
Yeah, but we're not running yet, right?
Gotcha.
We're still going to fall on skin our knees. We're not mature yet.
Right. And you talked about, you know, the job aspect of it. And, you know, I think so much have been talked about how this is going to become a tool that takes away jobs and whatnot. But I want to challenge Nick a little second here. Nick, as an artist, what role do you see AI playing in maybe helping or not helping you be able to get your material or your project out there maybe quicker or easier and more accessible to your fans?
To be honest, that's exactly where I was going to take it is I think a big challenge, especially for people that might not have the resources, you know, to complete a song as far as the mixing, the mastering, maybe even recording, you know, aspects of it to where most of the time you would outsource that to somebody, which is not free.
Right.
And actually just to create a song could be hundreds of dollars, you know, just for a single song.
Wow.
So if there's some sort of way that AI can help contribute to that, which I can totally see it doing in the future, I think that would be, you know, essential and, you know, imperative to get, you know, those little, the little people, you
right.
know, and the people
right.
that might not necessarily have the opportunity to have their voices heard, is going to help them kind of break into the market. And, you know, that's where a lot of the stuff comes from that people are really looking for. You know, they're looking for the people, the smaller people that are out there and, you know, the SoundCloud rappers,
right?
And stuff right. like that.
Right.
You know, that's really just came from a place of struggle, you know, and
of course,
of people just kind of trying to get their stuff out there. So I think it would definitely be huge for, you know, an everyday person.
I used something really cool with that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great, though? Can you imagine this? Like an AI, like Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
Like seriously, like, you know, not just like punch up a beat and do this stuff, but we all have a conversation with an AI, like, you know, like, or like Common or something, you know what I mean? Like, and sit down, any of those guys, sit down and have a conversation with them and be like, you know what, I think this would be better if you did this.
Mm, right.
Or why don't you add a little symphonic piece here, and I think it would go like this, right? Like, I think, like, for like little, you know, like you said, for the private artist to be able to have somebody that they can, like, bounce ideas off of.
Absolutely.
And even possibly even enhance the idea.
Absolutely.
That could be amazing. That could be a huge moment.
Because that would be able to, I'm going to cut you off.
No, but
that would be able to, you know, it would be able to kind of follow what we're talking about, trends and stuff like that, right? Like, oh, this is what's hot right now. Maybe we should, like you said, add a little bit of this or, you know, auto-tune or, you know, maybe, yeah, like you
yeah.
said, maybe
yeah.
like a little bit more melodic right here, right? So I think that's huge. That's a great.
I'd be like, imagine that though. You pay for an AI producer, right? I'm downloading Butch Vig right now.
Right.
You know, Butch Vig lets out his brain to this one. You know, sit down and be like, yeah, I want a little bit of a rougher sound. So, they, you know, drop it in. And they take care of all the EQ and all the sounds. And you're like, yeah, that's what
I meant.
Yeah.
It's funny that you guys said it because I'm going to get to that in a second because I want to talk about what some of the effects of that are. And I have some things in my head just kind of stay at the pot a little bit. But kind of honing on what you said in terms of getting to the little people, there's a, I don't know what app is called, but there's a company out there that's allowing artists to give their music directly to fans.
Mm.
And then fans can pay with this sort of NFT.
Yeah.
And then they own a copy of that album or something. And anytime that fan releases any sort of new project, this super fan, anytime the artist releases a new project, the super fan gets a first dip at that specific project, and then they can acquire that specific project or song with the NFT. And so,
I like that.
Keep me honest, that's part of AI, Novium. Maybe you can flesh
that out. I mean, that's more blockchain. Right?
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, that's a combination of both.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you know, the whole idea with blockchain already pictures always Bitcoin, right?
Right.
There's many other uses of that. Like, I mean, like my buddy's company, actually, that was not too far from me. His company is working on like blockchain health records.
Oh, wow.
So that your health records are, you can share them, you can have them as your own, but they're in a safe, secure, encrypted blockchain.
I see.
But the NFT side is like, with AI, it's like you could talk to an AI, and this is what I can see, I know Spotify is already playing with this. Like, you can ask and say, you know, I'm looking for this kind of thing today, and then based on what you like and, you know, understanding what you've listened to over time, it understands you. Remember, because one of the things with AI is it's not a static model, meaning that you don't just do it and it doesn't. And it's constantly learning, it's constantly training. It's just like your
brain. Evolving.
That's why it's artificial intelligence, right? It's a cumulative knowledge. And, you know, like, when you train an AI, you download this thing called an LLM. It's a large language model. And that's when you do speech. So it means you're downloading gigabytes and gigabytes of speech and text and inflection and emphasis and emotion, right? There's even parameters. It's parameter sets. And those parameters have different things that they do. It could be like, I could say hello nicely, or I could say hello like I'm angry.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it takes all that together, and it creates that voice, that ability to interact, that ability to knowledge. But being able to understand you and produce music and be able to say, I want something that's this, and like, oh, I like that, I want to buy it. Then if you use blockchain, give it to you, the artist gets a piece of the pay, and at the same time, the AI learns something more about you. And then so later on, the AI could ask you, did you like that?
Hmm.
And what did you like about it, right? And they could tell from how many times you played it. You know, even they'll be watching you eventually too.
Absolutely.
And see your facial expressions on how you reacted.
I see.
And it might say, a beat here, you seem to smile a bit compared to maybe the interlude in here, you're a little bit lost. You
didn't
see, right? It'll start to cater to you based on not just the way you talk, but the way you interact, the way you work, the way you look, the way you feel. Well, be another attributing future, you know, that's what AGI and SGI will be in the future. So like, not just understanding a question answer, but more like your emotional state.
Right.
At the time.
That's huge that you said that too, because I know one of the questions that I had, and you've already gotten there, is in what setting can artificial intelligence be applied? And we just talked about music, we talked about technology, we talked about day-to-day lives. There are also some out there who are staunchly against this evolution,
yes, sir.
Right? And rightfully so, right? In the sense that, like, if you want to listen to their side, one of the key things that I've heard, and I'm starting an article on NBC Universal on November 3rd, 2023, out of a high school in New Jersey. It's called Westfield High School. And essentially what happened was somebody using AI to start circulating fake nude photos of students in organization in that school. So the idea was the original picture wasn't necessarily taken nude per se. It was more full clothing, but somehow AI was able to predict what this person's autonomy looks like without the clothes on.
Yeah.
And so obviously I've got a daughter, you've got a daughter, you've got sons, and we want to protect our kids. And so What is your thought on that phenomenon in terms of what effect is this going to have on this generation that are coming along, and how can we prepare them to be able to take this on? Understand, like, hey, look, this is a great tool when used the right way. When used a different way, this could be suicidal, because that's what we're seeing with kids that are being bullied with this technology.
I don't mean to intervene or take
anything,
but automatically what's coming up for me is there needs to be, you know, AI can predict all this stuff, you know, and it can be so helpful in so many ways. Is there a way that, or there's got to be a way for it to be able to be programmed or something within it to where it can already tell, hey, this person is, you know, underage, or hey, this, or even, you know, the nudity thing in general, you know, there's got to be some sort of censorship on it. You know, there's got to be some sort of way that, you know, these kind of things can be avoided, because that's absolutely sick, brother. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. And I, you know, if something like that were to happen, you know, to one of my kids, I couldn't even tell you what I would do. You know,
I could imagine.
That's absolutely sick. And there's gotta be, you know, for all the good and all the awesome things and positive directions that AI is moving in. Yeah, there's got to be some sort of censorship and some sort of, you know, you know, we don't do that.
Right. And I'll argue that, and I want to play devil's advocate for a second here, because I just see some passion. I like that. We're a free market country. Mm-hmm. We believe in the freedom of expression, freedom to go out there and be whatever you want to be. When we start saying that, hey, you cannot do this and this with the technology, can we still argue that it's a free market, Bill?
So I'm going to take a step back.
Sure.
On this, right? And here's like, this is where the 50-year-old man comes in, right? The 50-plus-year-old dude, right? So, and here's the thing that's funny is every time there's something new, a new technology, fear is, you know, there's the awe at first, then the fear. And then we normalize. And then we normalize. But when we normalize, you put in those rails, right? Those guardrails to keep things in check. Think about this, right? I mean, back even when there was written pen and paper, you know, like, you know, when people were handwriting books and printing and stuff like that, there was a fear, right? A fear of miscommunication, a fear of misinformation. Mm-hmm. And they're involved in some newspapers, right? Newspapers, same thing. How do we control to make sure that the news that is being put in the free market economy even, how, you know, how do we make it? And we do that. So we put in editors, right? To put in guardrails to make sure that things, you know, are that. Radio came out. Same thing. Oh my God, it's going to, you know, it's going to cause misinformation, all this, right? Go all the way up to the internet. I mean, the internet was the first thing. You know, how are we going to protect our children, right? You know, like, or even cable, right? You know, cable had to put in safeguards because people were like, I can just flip around the channels and there's porn. My kids can go back on porn at any time, right?
That's pretty scary.
Right? Then cell phones, right? You know, like cell phones happened. And cell phones was texting and all that. But then when smartphones started coming about, preliminary before the iPhone and the Android.
Now you got handheld access to all that stuff.
You know, the thing I always make the joke is like, my favorite joke about that is that we have devices in our hands that have absolute access to all the information of our entire human race and the cosmos. Mm-hmm. And we use it to take selfies and we use it to like get directions to get food, right?
Right.
You know, these are things that we do with it. But at the same time, we put those same guardrails and safeguards in place. AI is the same thing. We're still learning. We're still evolving.
I see.
And those checks and balances are coming. They've already started, right? And actually, a majority of the AI researchers and developers understand the immense power that they are playing, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like Oppenheimer and the Atom.
Right.
I mean, it's that same idea. I mean, you know, Oppenheimer, you know, the infamous line from everyone. Now everybody knows the line from the movie, right? You know, I basically become death, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the whole idea, like, what have I done? And at the same time, AI is the same idea. Like, everybody's seen, you know, all the movies, right? I mean, HAL 9000 killed the crew to fulfill its mission. Terminator had Skynet. I mean, I was just down with SpaceX. And SpaceX, the big joke in their data center is called Skynet. When you walk in, right? And like the whole idea of, you know, AI destroying the world, wiping out humanity and taking over, you know? I, for one, welcome our robot overlords. But at the same time...
My robot.
But the thing is that, yeah, those safeguards will come in place, right? It's already starting, like you said. That was from November.
Right.
And in that time period, there's already been a massive amount of this. I mean, perfect example, OpenAI, ChatGPT, and ChatGPT-4, and, you know, then you have, like, all the various AI generations. I mean, remember how terrible the first AI generation stuff that came out? You know, people had, like, 25 fingers, and, like, you know, they looked, you know, they were all, like, messed up. And now it's, like, now it's become more and more precise, and that's in a short period of time. I mean, we don't do technology anymore like Moore's Law, which is every 18 months. Now it's every 18 minutes that we're doing something different. And, you know, in this case, no, there will be safeguards. There will be regulations and stuff. Yeah, it'll still be a free market. But, yeah, we need to put safeguards in place. I am all for, you know, the ideals of limited government and all that stuff. Right.
I love
all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, let's face it, we're humans.
Right.
We're pretty shitty.
Yeah,
as you
100%.
I mean, we're pretty much the only thing that keeps us in place is rules and regulations that we put in place. If we weren't, we'd be killing each other at every possible freaking opportunity. So it's the same idea.
And I also think that the monetary aspect of it would drive people to make crazy decisions, right?
Oh yeah.
Because people are now having apps and different AI apps that does different things. For example, I ran across one on Instagram the other day. I don't know if it's even real or not, where it says, do you want to know where your wife is going? Do you want to know what your husband is doing? Put this on his phone, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, So now we're creating AI models to track each other to see if we're being committed to whatever the partnership that we have with
I think this is the beginning of something crazy. It's
going
to predict, and you're going to be like, if you show up now at 7:14 p.m., your wife will be here. Right, because it'll do it based on predictions of her behavior.
I see.
Right? If we allow it.
Right, right. Yes. If we allow it, that's the key. And I think allowance also comes down to the individual, right? Like, to what, how much power do you want to give it, right? For example, when I wake up in the morning, Alexa will tell us, like, hey, you know, good morning, Wachuku, like, you know, welcome, yada yada yada. But then it would ask me, like, what do you want to do today? Which I can give it bunch of like commands. I say, hey, typically on Saturdays I get out there, I split some wood. Now the following Saturday, it will remind me when it's that time, like, hey, it's time to go do that. But I know that not to want to give it that information, because I know what it could take that information, because it's just one information, but it could break it down and make it so many, like, hey, this is the type of wood you cut, this is the type of equipment you can use, like, and it just goes down this rabbit hole that just keeps going and on and on. And for me, I feel like that's too much power for a machine.
So right now, it's now going to the next stage. Like I said, you have Siri or Alexa or whatever on your phone, right? You know, Bixby for
Samsung. Yeah, Bixby for Samsung, yeah.
Right? And those are all, like I said, those are not AGI, right? Those aren't artificial general intelligence. That's like the basic form of AI, meaning that it has a, when you're asking the question, it's yes or no. Right? And then based on those yes or no's, it makes logic decisions.
Gotcha.
The difference between AI and a logic decision, which is very basic, is the fact that it takes multiple parameters into account. So it's not just a yes or no decision. It's based on behavioral trends and other things. Right? That's what makes it so powerful. Don't even get me started on the fact that when we get to the point of AI and quantum computing get together, which is happening now, and that's going to make AGI happen and SGI happen within, I bet you by 2030, we will have a full SGI, meaning an intelligence smarter than us.
Wow.
Right? Easily. And quantum computing is going to make that happen.
Yeah, because quantum computer, basically, Google has one, where it's like, things that takes years to formulate, it's getting done in seconds, to be honest, or even minutes.
Right. Well, so
it's insane.
And the reason why I'm saying that is that, so modern computers with AI have a problem. Right? It's still a 1 and a 0. It's still binary, right?
Right.
It's either 0 or 1, right? Quantum computing is different. Quantum computing has this thing called qubits. And what qubit is it can be a 1, a 0, or a 1 and a 0, or 0 and a 1, or 0, 0, or 1, 1.
It
has multiple states. That's why it's called quantum flux, right? It has quantum capacity, meaning that it doesn't just do a binary decision. It can account for multiple decisions at the same time. Now, if you have an AI model harnessing something that's more like a neural network, like our brain, that can do multiple computations and multiple permutations of a computation, that's when you start getting into the crazy shit, right? That's when you start getting into the insane. And we're not there yet, right? Quantum computing, I mean, IBM now sells quantum computers that you can buy modularly, right?
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, wow. You should look it up. It's amazing. Or the other one, too, that I'm fascinated by is the wearables, right, outside of your phone, right? I just bought, I was hoping it was going to be here today, but it's not here, right? There's the Humane AI pin. I don't know if you've seen that. So it's a pin you wear right now, and you interact with it with your voice. And if you want a screen, you put your hand out, and it has a laser projector that projects on your hand so you can see the information on your hand. And it'll take pictures, and you can say, hey, what kind of wine is that? And it will identify it for you, right? It's slow, it's clunky, but it's the first step. The one that I bought is called the Rabbit R1. And the Rabbit R1 is designed by Teenage Engineering. It has a little camera, a little push button, a little screen on it, but you can talk to it, and it's a full AI interactive model that you put in your pocket. And it's about the size of a deck of cards.
Wow.
I ordered it a couple weeks ago. It was supposed to be here this week, and I was going to bring it with me so we can play around with it, but it's not coming until next week.
I guess we got another show for you guys.
But that's going to be the next thing. Is that those models, you know, here's the thing is, like, Apple just announced, I mean, they acquired an AI company. You know, the amount of power that's on an iPhone or Android phone with Samsung or any of those is enough, right, to do basic artificial intelligence. I mean, this is going to be, you know, your thing. this is it. I mean, we're already doing it. It's the next evolution, but it's going to become more intelligent, more fun in the long term. Like, I need to go to Europe, plan me a 5-week trip to Europe, all the sites I want to see, major ones, but I want to make sure I avoid this and blah, blah, blah. I don't like this kind of food. It'll create your itinerary, book the tickets, set you up, remind you. And then when you're there, it'll give you history notes.
I love right? that. I love that. And there's another point that came up recently that I found, and I think it was an article about Tyler Perry. So Tyler Perry had acquired a bunch of studios in Georgia, huge ones, where he was starting to shoot movies out of, right? And
he's got his own airport.
Yeah. And then I think he found out about the AI model and how you can now, you don't even have to have a real life place. You can use AI to create these places. And so it becomes like, what about all this real estate that I have?
Yeah.
So I like the idea of, obviously, like, originality is the best. And I'm not saying AI, the AI theme shoot won't be original or like thereof. What I'm curious about is, as a moviegoer, we thrive on seeing things as real as it gets. And I think we kind of all agree on this table that one of the most influential actor who is as real as it gets is Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
He barely uses any sort of stunts, right? So now
you hear Chris Nolan. Chris Nolan is all about practical, right? Practical sense. I mean, in Oppenheimer, the explosion, you know, to show the atom bomb, that was a real explosion. That wasn't AI. That wasn't generated. He actually hired some people to figure out a way to simulate a real atom bomb explosion.
That's insane.
Right.
So see, stuff like that, and the Oscar deserving insult, he won the Oscar. And I thrive on those sort of approach when it comes to movie, right? But now with the introduction of AI, whereby this actor or actress is painting a picture of being in this most, I don't know, influential or difficult situation. And as a moviegoer, you're like sympathizing with them in that moment, right? But truly, truly, they're in a garage somewhere with just machines surrounding them, making it look like, and movies always been like this anyways, mm-hmm. but there's always been component of movies that has been authentic. For example, I think going back to, and I could be wrong here, but I think going back to the movie with, there were a bunch of kids that got trapped in a cave in Indonesia. I don't know if it's in Thailand, one of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in that cave for a very long time. But eventually those kids came back, they were able to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
When the movie was done, I could be wrong, so please, y'all keep me honest. They shot the movie in a way where they made it as real as possible to mimic what those kids were going through at the time. I don't think it was in a pool. So when you start introducing AI, where you're like, hey, you put a green carpet on the floor, and you're like, hey, just act like you're swimming. And then AI is like showing the water.
See,
for me, it takes away the authenticity of that movie. So how do we mitigate this and give people like Tyler Perry the voice that they've had and which should continue to have, saying, hey, keep creating what's original and what's not AI-driven in a sense?
So that's the biggest complaint with most actors is green screen, right? So the whole thing with green screen, like look at the Star Wars, you know, 1, 2, and 3, right? That was all green screen and they all had problems. The best technology, in my opinion, for shooting movies right now, and there is an AI component, it's called the volume. And the volume is location, it's actually a rig that they set up. They actually did Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, they did Obi-Wan, right? So Jon Favreau, the director who did like all the Iron Man, and he was at mm-hmm. the MCU, but then when he took over and he did the Mandalorian, they shot it on the soundstage. But the difference was this, is that it wasn't a green screen. It's projectors. It's a dome that they shoot in, and it projects. And it uses parallax effects and all that.
Oh wow!
So when the actors are there, they see the valley that they're interacting with. So all the background scenes when you watch those shows,
yeah,
were shot in this thing called the volley. And Jon Favreau came up with the idea, found a company to build it. And the idea is it's not green screen, projection screens. So when the actors are acting, they feel, that's why it's called the volume.
Right? I see what you're saying.
You're part of the set.
I see.
But the thing is there's an AI element there where they can turn to it and say, you know what, actually, let's do this scene, instead of this scene being shot at noon, let's change all the lighting and everything so it's at 4 o'clock. And that's what he says, and everything just changes, right? So wow. They can rapidly shoot, rapidly do these things, and it gives the actors a way to interact physically almost with a scene, right? As opposed to pretend there is a big creature, you know, about to eat your ass right here. And,
right.
And like this one, they could see.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like.
It's funny that you said that because there was a State Farm commercial that came on yesterday during the NBA game. And they were showing Arnold. They had to tell them to say neighbor. It's a neighbor. Neighbor.
Yeah, oh, my
but as you can see the background, it was on green screen. And I was like, oh, that's how they do the explosion. So that kind of takes you back to that. Going back to on the music side, Nick, there was a point, I think it was Coachella, where Snoop was on the stage rapping, and he had an hologram of Tupac.
I was there.
Oh my God, that's so cool. I mean, what, how do you see that affecting the music that, like, they say you want to put out there? Like, there's this, maybe this artist or this project that you want to do, and maybe you want to tap into some of the greats that are no longer here with us. How do you see that helping in that kind of situation, similar to what Snoop did?
I just see the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, there's these beefs going on right now, right?
And Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah.
Hey, we gotta talk about that too.
And my boy Drake, you know, he's catching a lot of fire because he's
Tupac.
Because he's using Tupac's voice, right? And it's all AI generated, right? But it's
switch.
right, you know, I can see that, you know, it could be super awesome, right? Because you could get, you know, pretty much any feature you want at that point, right? Oh, okay, I want Biggie on my album, I want Bob Marley on my album, you know, I want John Lennon on my album, you know, you can get whoever you want on your album, right? But at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, I think it goes right back to what you're saying about authenticity, yeah. You know, and how much of it is actually you, right? Mm-hmm. Because once this AI can pick up on your stuff, right, pick up how you talk, your vernacular, right, your inflection, all this stuff, how much of it is actually going to be the artist, right? And how much of it is just going to be technology running with it?
Yes.
And, you know, I think that can go right back to people being scared of losing their jobs, you know, people scared of, you know, these robots coming around and serving you your food, right? I mean, that's cool and all, you know, like this is dope, you know, like this person, this machine rolling up and taking my order, bringing me my order, but it's taking away the personability, you know, I don't even know if that's a word, but it's taking, it's taking away the personableness of, you know, getting to go to your favorite restaurant, like how we were talking about earlier, being a regular somewhere, getting to see your favorite waitress, you know, getting that service, you know, it's taken away from our humanity, you know? And I think that it's got, you know, a lot of cool stuff with it, you know, but at the same time, I can see us, you know, just getting further and further away from like what actually makes us people and like, you know, what brings us all together as community.
That's deep. You know? That's deep. We got to expatiate on it. Go for it.
And here's the thing is, right? So even this has been going, this goes back to actually the 90s, right? Back in my day. Pull that shit somewhere. But even back then, so like, it's Natalie Cole, right? Natalie Cole, the soul singer, right? Her dad was Nat King Cole. And, you know, he had died many years before, decades before, and she recorded them for together, right? And she did it as a duet with her dad, who had been dead for over 25 years.
Wow. That's right? Beautiful. That's
right? Powerful. But, yeah, but that was 94, 95 time frame, right? And that was a huge thing. And, like, they had a projector on stage, and he would sing, and she would sing to it, and all this. That's one thing. Then the Tupac thing, right? So there have been other times this has happened, but with Tupac, it is very limited. It's a hologram. It's Tupac songs. The recordings of Tupac when they made the hologram that they're using. Right?
I see. These aren't fictional things that they're just coming up with based on, you know, oh, I want to talk about this person and use Tupac's voice. And now it's putting words in Tupac's mouth.
Now it's making Tupac do new raps.
Right. And that's insane. Yes.
The Beatles just did this. Right?
Really?
So the Beatles had Let It Be, right? So Let It Be was this Apple special they did. At the end of it, they actually had, so Sean Lennon, his son, and Yoko Ono, brought over a recording that John Lennon had done at his piano, very rough. And the thing is that what they did is they took it, and it was Weta. So Peter Jackson, the guy who did Lord of the Rings and all that, took the recording to a studio in New Zealand and broke it down. And was able to strip out John Lennon's voice from it.
Wow. Right?
Take away the music, isolate it, take the voice out, and then they used AI to fill in the gaps. Hmm. So it's still John Lennon, still singing the song, but there were parts where they couldn't understand the words, like, and they used AI to decipher what he was saying, because it was a recording with a little tape recorder, like the old school tape recorder is.
Yeah.
He had it sitting on top of a piano, and it's just his voice singing to the piano. And
wow.
They released it as a song. They recorded all new guitar parts. Uh-huh. Jeff Lynne, who was in ELO, he was Electric Light Orchestra, one of the biggest producers of all time. This guy has done all the Beatles stuff. He's done tons of things. And he took that and he made a new song, but it's a new Beatles song. And John Lennon's been dead since 1980.
Wow.
They did it before and it was different. This one was a whole new song, but they used AI to extract John Lennon's voice. Mm-hmm. From a 40-plus-year-old recording,
mm-hmm.
enhance it, fill in the gaps of parts where they could barely understand his audio, and then put it. Now that, I'm all down for. But like, you know, with Drake using Tupac, he's still using recordings.
Right.
If he had done, oh, this is a new, you know, this is me and Tupac, you know, going back and forth,
yeah.
with new words that Tupac never, I kind of got a problem with that.
That's kind of where I was taking it as well. Yeah, I'm not trying to say anything about Drake or Kendrick or Tupac or anything like that. My whole idea is just trying to be objective about it, you know, and trying to think into the future, right? And like what is some of the things that we got to look out for?
You know? And this is the Trending Podcast,
right?
And on the Trending Podcast, we talk and we share things based on what we see and how we see it. And we let the masses or our audience draw the conclusion. So absolutely, we want to hear from you. We've talked about the role that AI play in our daily lives. We talked about exactly what AI is and what artificial intelligence is in general. We talked about the different segmentation of artificial intelligence as they come up, the SGI, the AGIs. We talked about the pros and cons of it, right? Both in the day-to-day life, in technology space, in music industry, and even in film industry, right? Wrapping up this session, what is the one or two things you would say, Bill, in terms of your recommendation, your advice for this generation as we continue to move forward, for everyone as they continue to embrace what AI is? Speak freely, please.
So one of my favorite movies, and it shows the pros and cons of artificial intelligence, is the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix, right? And I've done wrong. I love Scarlett Johansson. And if that was my AI voice that I heard in my ear every day, I'm okay with that. But the thing is that if, you know, when you look at that movie, what I like about that compared to the planet's going to blow up, there's a meltdown, we're lost in space. The thing about Her, it's a very personal story, right? It's a person, it's a guy who's lonely. It's a guy who, he's in his own little, in a way, sad world.
Hmm.
And the AI provides him with a level of comfort and discussion, right? He doesn't feel alone. He's always got Her. That's why the movie's called Her. It's not called, you know, AI Armageddon or Rip My Heart Out, you know, whatever.
Like Megan?
Exactly. Oh, Jesus. That's a whole other story, okay?
I didn't make my daughter watch that movie. I'm like, we're not watching that.
If your daughter starts doing the dance, run. Right? But you know, one day he's like, Dad, you're like, I want this. And he's like, wait a minute.
Not today.
But Her, that's the reason why it's called Her. It's not, I love the fact that the director and the writer did that, right? And I don't think people really realize that, you know, for a movie that's over 10 years old, it was a fresh take. But I could see that being something in the future, especially if it's handled correctly. It can help people that maybe have things like depression or social anxieties or things like that. It could be a way for it to be a therapist, right? I mean, you know, that's the thing is I think it's going to be like every other technology that we have, right? It's going to become ubiquitous, it's going to become seamless, it's going to become part of our lives. We're protesting now, and people are like, oh, you know, people are losing their shit. They are. They're losing their shit constantly. I'm going to lose my job, blah, blah, blah. Same thing happened with robots and people did. They lost their jobs, but they got other jobs, right? It's, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, right? Things have changed from agricultural societies where we are now. I mean, we're fortunate. I mean, I mean, people watching this and us sitting here at the table, you know, 100 years from now, you know, 200 years from now, people are going to look back at this as not being the internet age, to the information age. We're going to be the, you know, from 1970 forward, right? Starting in the 50s and 60s, the precursors, discovered the, you know, the atom and all that, working its way up. I mean, I'm fortunate enough, like I said, I was born in 1972. My mother was a math teacher. My mother got a computer because there were computers. They compute. They go to math teachers. So when I was, you know, in 1978, I was 6 years old, and my mother brought home an Apple II. And I was like, this is amazing. But, I mean, I still have an Apple II at my house, right? That I have an Apple II,
you
an
do,
Apple II and a Mac.
Yes.
I still have, like...
You actually had a Zoom meeting, too, and we do. I love it.
And the thing is though, like, we're now heading into the... And the reason why I would say the internet age, the reason why I would say the technology age, is the information age. It really is. You know, you think about this. Every step and every logical piece of technology we've grown and utilized since the 1970s with personal computers going forward has all been about information. So this is the dawn of the information age. We are at the event horizon of the information age. We're fortunate to be here in a shifting paradigm of society that we're seeing this. We're front row tickets to this. I mean, we're watching this go right on in front of us. We're talking about AI. 100 years from now, it's all going to be normalized. Hmm. You know, we're going to be the same people who are going to be talking about the dangers of the automobile.
Hmm.
Right? The horseless carriage. You know, why would I trust a horseless carriage? Right? That's insane.
Yeah.
You know, won't it blow up? Oh my God, isn't it flammable?
Yeah.
Wait, what if happened? You know, same discussions every time. I won't get on a train. That's insane. Why would you do plane? You want to be in the sky?
Hmm.
Wait, you want to be strapped to a seat in the sky, right? Think about it. We get on planes now and we complain about room. We complain about the assholes that are sitting around us that are taking our private space, not even realizing we're in a seat in the sky, okay?
These are things that we purchase, though, and these are things that, you know, that we are, we're subjecting ourselves to because we want to. As for, he brought up the thing about, you know, these pictures being circulated, and that person didn't volunteer for that,
right?
You know, people volunteer to go on, you know, I speak freely, right?
Yeah,
people volunteer to be in porn, you know, people volunteer to, you know, be on Playboy and all these things, right? They didn't volunteer to have their, you know, 12-year-old daughter's face, you know, put onto this artificially generated image to be circulated around the school, you know, with all this cyberbullying and stuff going on. The rate of suicide is through the roof.
Yes.
You know, people need to seek Jesus now.
Yes.
Well, it's funny to say that, especially the kids these days, you know, like my son is 20, right? And he was a teen in high school during the most formative years of his life. I feel horrible for him. Mm. I feel absolutely devastatingly horrible for him. And that was because he was also a teen in this period during, number one, social media and the pandemic, right? Here's the thing, is that, especially now, the suicide rates and all that, but social media started off with a promise, and it's turned into a plague.
Hmm.
Let's face it.
Wow.
Right? The promise was connecting people, and it did. But then the worst people got involved.
Hmm.
Then people, like, I mean, think about it now. Kids in school that are in teenage years, like my kid, I have a 16-year-old too, for example. He goes to high school, right? And kids are judged on their social media presence.
Yeah.
Think about that. Number of followers, number of likes, where have you been? What did you buy?
That happens, like, if you're even going to get picked up, you know, as an artist or as a...
As an athlete. The NIL deal, too, is like, oh, how many social followers do you have?
Yeah.
Because then we're going to give you this deal. We got to make sure you're able to market
your coverage.
People are making hundreds and thousands of dollars just having a lot of followers on social media, honestly.
Yeah. Think about this. We've generated an entire economic culture on what? Perception. Right? I mean, right now, we got a dude sitting right here behind the camera. We're sitting around having a casual conversation while we have studio lighting on, right? Think about this. You know, all those, you know, influencers. I love that term. That cracks me up, right? And a lot of it's a bunch of...
Hey, we got to talk about it. This is another topic. I don't want you to steal the top of this stuff, but go for it.
That's another set of bullshit, too, in this film, right? I mean, come on. You know, that's the thing is, it's like, you know, Same with AI, right? All these things happen and cultures develop around it. Economic cultures develop around it. You know what I mean? Like I said, like social media initially was like, hey, I'm sharing pics of my kids and I haven't seen you since high school.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, all this. And now it's turned into an absolute cesspool nightmare garish shit that people just don't care. And then it evolved into, yeah, I'm an influencer. What the hell does that mean? I'm some Joe Blow from somewhere. I do this and now I'm influencing, right? What does that mean? You know, does it has any intrinsic value back to society? No.
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't. It's a superficial society when it comes down to it. And that worries me because AI.
AI has that.
That's the thing. That's where the guardrails come in, right? We got to put that safety measures in place because it can be completely detrimental to a developing child. I feel like an old man saying all this shit, but at the same time, I'm a dad.
Yes.
You know?
We're all dads, yeah.
Exactly. We're dads. And we want to make sure that, you know, our kids are safe, but the growing threats are terrible. And it's not from adults that are crazy. Don't get me wrong, there's tons of adult mean crazy out there. It's peer. It's the peer groups. And then if you get the peer groups, the who don't have the self-knowledge of what the shit they're doing is wrong, right? They're, oh, it's a joke. Ha ha ha. You know? Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I meant to do that. It was supposed to be funny. And the kid hangs himself because everybody makes fun of him at school.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it all comes back to, just to throw a little bit of personal life into it and to relate it. I have two different kids from two different moms, right? There's only some that live in two completely different places. There's only so much I can do as not only a father, but as a man to control, you know, my kids' lives, you know, the outcome of my kids' lives, how I want them raised, you know, because I'm not able to be there for them full time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I'm learning how to do for myself is to be the man that, you know, we were called to be, right? Which is leaders in the home.
Yes.
You know, and one of the main things that that I'm being informed about is, you know, we have to lead them not only physically, but we have to lead them spiritually.
Yes.
And we have to help them know, you know, that there's a lot bigger of a picture than what is being presented to us every day.
I see.
You know, art, AI, you know, materialism, you know, influencers, you know, right. Technology, all this stuff is the content, right? And what's going on in the physical linear world, right? But there's something much more broad that goes beyond the linear and something, the energy that's actually holding us all together, which has nothing to do with the content.
Right.
It's the context of what's holding us all together. And so I think that as men, you know, which we're all men here, you know, we need to just do our job, and I need to do a better job to lead them in a positive direction and help them understand that, you know, what it is, what's the broader sense of what we're dealing with, you know, and just help lead them in a positive direction and be positive leaders and you know, show them the way.
I appreciate that. Find the cost deals.
That's actually a great point you pointed out, right? We talk about the guardrails and stuff, but it starts at home.
Right? Yes,
amen. You know, and that's the thing.
Amen to that.
Like, I love the fact that my boys hold door for people, right? They say thank you. They say please. You know, I made sure this is things. Like, when they see somebody coming, they'll help them. They see an old woman, they'll help her across the street, they'll help her with the bags. I've enforced this in their brain. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I took my 16-year-old and his friends to Sonoma to do zip lining for the weekend.
Wow.
Didn't let them know that there's absolutely no internet access at all whatsoever in the middle of the woods. They lost their shit the first night. Like, I don't get a signal and stuff. And there was Wi-Fi. Connected to it because I wanted to make sure I could call my wife and all this. Didn't tell them this, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Let's go through the motion for a second.
But at the same time, I grabbed Uno cards, right? We sat around in this yurt and we played Uno for like 4 hours.
Wow.
And even the kids said that it was like, I went on my way home, like, that was the best time. We didn't have cell phone signal for like 40 minutes after we left. Mm-hmm. And the whole time they were chit-chat.
Yeah.
Wow. The whole way. Not even checking their phones. And then soon we hit, the phones dinged and they were all back to their screens.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I wanted to make sure that they understood, like, the place we went to, you know, the zip lines and stuff, like, I want them to be part of nature. I want them to be part of
present.
Yeah, and they were. Yeah. You know, that's the thing, is like, there's times for me personally where, like, I like bike riding. I was talking about it here. Yeah. I bike by Chuck's house. One of the reasons why I like it is that I put my notifications on silent. I put my headphones on. I listen to podcasts. I listen to music. And the thing about the reason why I like biking so much is I have no choice but to be present. If I'm not present, I'm dead. Right? I'm going to die. You know, I'm coming down 40 miles, 50 miles an hour down one of the hills here, which I do. If I'm not present, I'm dead, yeah. Right? But that's the thing is, it's like, I miss, there's times, I mean, I like those times where I have no connectivity. Yeah. I like those times where it's a little bit more silent.
And that's the only way that we're gonna reap that. We gotta come back to the source and we gotta get connected. Mm-hmm. And it's gotta be a part, it's gotta be a part of our lives, right? Because it's so easy to just get wrapped up and engulfed in, you know, the day to day and get wrapped up in this life, right? But there's something much more broad. There's a life, there's a greater life waiting for us after all of this physical world.
I love it. This episode is so great.
In Star Wars Day, we should talk about it, right? I mean, it is, you know, when he says, he's like, you think this crude matter really matters, right? Remember when Yoda talks to him?
Yeah,
you know,
like, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Basically, you're a meat sack. you're a meat sack, and you know, just happen to have something in you.
Well, so okay. This has been phenomenal. It went exactly how we thought it. I think looking back, not only do we understand what AI is, we understand some of the areas in which AI can be applied in our day-to-day lives, whether it's in tech, our jobs, in music, in themes. We talk about some of the consequences of it, good, bad, and different. And finally, we tie it up with our advice to the world. How should you navigate? And I think what stood out between both of you and as a father is it all starts at home. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And thank you for being part of this podcast with us. Bill, man. Thank you so much. Man. Nick, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome.
Thank you, my friend.
Cheers. That's a wrap.
All right. Everybody be safe, be wonderful, be well. Amen.